Welcome here to Thursday, the 24th of October, 2019. It's our encore show day, and we're going to be featuring a show here from 1 year ago, exactly, October the 24th, 2018. It's so whack to watch a lot of these old, just year-old video casts, because here we have the World Series. It's the Nationals and the Astros. Last year it was the Dodgers and the Red Sox, and of course, coming from Los Angeles and being a Dodger fan, it seemed like a much happier time, I guess, even though we wound up losing, in 5 games to the Red Sox, season before we lost in 7 to the Astros. So it felt like it was the repeat of the 70s all over again, with the Dodgers just, not getting it done in the postseason. But nonetheless, here we are. It's a year later and a whole new thing. But let's take a look at this show from last year. I remember this show because I found it personally, I thought it was pretty funny. We brought on Dave Niener. And Dave Niener was the program director of K-Boy Radio. They had a promotion. He was dressed up in a Walking Dead costume. And I guess he was walking around the neighborhood and with a rubber knife. And I don't know. I mean, if you stabbed him in the head with a rubber knife or something, I think you won some sort of a ridiculous prize. But I'm not exactly sure what. Also, Margaret and Frank Gray were on the phone to tell the story of Jim Champlain or Champlain. They never got his name right. So that's a whole other thing there. And then Dr. Jim Sadler counsels me after one of my mental health days that I took. So all of that coming up right now here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for today, the 24th of October, 2019. Let's go back a year to the 24th of October, 2018 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, and Phil is back from his...
Was it your mental health?
Yes, my mental health couple of days.
We can get on Dr. Jim Sadler to talk a little bit about that here in just a few minutes.
My name's Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Levin.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, and I'm General Galen Shaw.
And you're going to, let me just ask you, you're going to get who?
Well, we thought it would be interesting.
I took the liberty, Phil, if you don't mind, to call up Dr. Jim Chaplin. Not Chaplin. What is his name?
Dr. Jim Sadler, God.
I understand that, all right? I got a little confused.
Who's Dr. Jim Chaplin?
Maybe it was someone I was talking to before the show, Phil. I don't know. But the name Jim Chaplin, why is that name significant?
I don't know any Jim Chaplin.
Get my husband on the phone, please. Margaret, get my husband on the phone, please.
Okay, Mr. Henry?
Wait a minute. Don't ask him.
Yeah, he does ask me for permission. Yes, he does.
All right. Ask him for permission, but no one else.
Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yes. Go get her husband. What do you want to talk to Frank for?
I want to talk to Frank because I want to know who Jim Chaplin was. Why? I think I might have been talking with Frank this morning about a Jim Chaplin or a Jim Champagne.
Yeah, okay. Frank, I'm told, is on the line. Bud?
Yeah, Mr. Gray. Bud Dickman over to Phil Henry Show. Yeah. In any way... any way, shape, or form? All right, okay.
Hey, Frank, Phil Henry.
Yeah, young man, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm better than Custer.
Frank, Margaret is here. She has a question she wants to ask.
Frank, who's Jim Chaplin?
I don't know a Jim Chaplin. I know Jim Champagne. You and I were talking about Jim Champagne, or Jim Champlain.
Yes, Jim Champlain from Rutgers.
Yeah, Jim Champlain is from... Rutgers, Indiana, and this is a guy who had his hands all over Margaret at a party one night.
This is a pretty funny story, actually.
Talk about at what party?
This is years ago over at Bill Hansen's home here in Los Angeles. Jim Champlin was doing a show that I was producing, and the show was called Lights, Camera, Pull Your Dress Up, and Let's See It.
Oh, that, yeah, and Jim Champlin, hold on, Frank, and Jim Champlin or Champlain?
Jim Champlain.
Jim Champlain was one of the stars of the show, and I assumed that these were all drag queens or...
Well, it was a drag queen show, but all the men were straight. And the reason was because it was a satire on, not drag queens, it was a satire on straight men trying to do a drag queen show and still maintain their heterosexual outward... Look, you understand what I'm saying, Phil? In other words...
Let me do it, Frank. This was a show written...
Well, what do you mean, let you do it?
Wait, hold on. This was a show written by one of Frank's friends, Bob Hassenfrass, and this was a show that was intended as a satire of straight men trying to raise money by doing a drag queen show and yet not wanting to be fully...
Yeah, they didn't want to fully commit because they didn't want their wives and girlfriends to think that they were really digging it, and so I...
Hold on for just a minute.
Kind of confused. confusing.
Well, I think I've got it. Oh, wait a minute. This is a show.
It's a show. It was a satire written by Bob Hassenfoss, who's a friend of mine. And we produced the damn thing. It was over at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion for like 5 performances, and it bombed horribly. So,
lights, camera, let's see your underwear.
Lights, camera, dress, pull your dress up and let's see it. Something like that. And it was a satire.
Yeah, you've said it's a satire now about 5 times, Frank.
All right, well, I'll say it 6 times. It was a satire.
Yeah, but what we're trying to find out... Wait, what we're trying to find out is... It was a satire of these straight guys who are putting on this show.
They're putting on a drag queen show to raise money for a charity, like a children's hospital or something. But they're not drag queens. They're actually straight guys who don't really do this for... And I realize that a lot of drag queens are straight.
What are you talking about, man? What? There don't drag queens that are straight.
Well, yeah, apparently there are, because... Why don't you shut up, Dickman?
Wait a minute. I'll tell people to shut up. Shut up, Dickman, will you?
So what I was saying here...
Wait a minute. So this is a show... Well, this is a show about drag queens, and the guys that are in it are straight guys, and they're not doing it very well.
Right, and the whole idea is they don't commit very well to the drag queen thing. All right, so cut to after the show, the after party. This guy, Jim Champlain's one of the actors, and apparently she was worried that she was still being perceived, or she might still be perceived as gay or too comfortable in the role, in the main role as Betty, who was the lead dancer and singer and all-around organizer of this effort to get money for the children's hospital.
Betty's the character. Yeah, Betty is the character that this guy Jim Champlain plays.
Yes, yes. So in order to, I guess you can pick it up from here, Margaret.
Yeah, let me do this, Frank.
Well, I did good right to then.
Okay, Frank, yes, you did, except now it's...
It's what?
It's just too much description. The point is this guy Champlain, who is the man we're talking about, put his hand on my...
On your boob?
Well, no. The other area.
Oh, he put his hand on your ass.
God damn it.
Well, come on. That's what you're describing, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, she put her hand right on Margaret's butthole area.
That butthole?
I didn't say that. I said butthole.
How about the ass? That seems to work.
Yeah, might as well get to it.
Okay, fine, Phil. The ass. Like I'm nothing more than just something that walks out from backstage with nothing on, and you take a look and go, yeah, next. Pardon me.
Margaret, you can't leave. I'm not.
Where's he going?
Just to take a walk.
Yeah, so, and I had to quite frankly, beat her up.
Who?
What happened to you, man?
I'm sorry, I mean who?
I had to beat up Champlain.
Jim Champlain or...
Yeah, Jim Champlain.
It's Jim Champlain.
Jim, what is it?
She said Jim Champlain.
No, Jim Champlain. Jim Champagne.
No, Jim, no. Jim, let me... Jim Champlain, I just remembered.
No, you didn't just remember because you got it wrong. It's Jim Champlain, or Jim Champlin.
Never mind, it's a guy you beat up, right?
Yes, it's a guy I had to beat up because she put her hands on his ass. And I won't allow any guy to do that to my wife. Now that's it.
Now when you say you beat him up, what did you do exactly?
I took the guy outside, I punched her a couple of times, knocked her on her ass, and that was the end of that.
Except he did file a police report.
Well, all right, she filed a police report, and I got charged with assault, and I paid a fine. Fortunately for me, there was no civil action.
Well, that guy could have sued you.
Yeah, well, in those days, nobody ever thought about doing those things. And the fact of the matter is, Champlain was in the wrong. She had her hands right on my wife's ass, so you can't, you know. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me as if to say, well, what are you going to do about it?
No, don't involve me in this, Frank. I barely knew his hand was there. I felt something cup the left buttock, and I turned, and when I did turn, Frank had already grabbed this guy and dragged him out front and punched him out, so...
So all's well that ends well, huh?
I wouldn't call that ends well. You know, I sweated it out at the police station. I'm an attorney, okay? So I can't afford any kind of... nothing on my record.
Do you get, like, disbarred? The possibility of being disbarred?
No, I don't... let me tell you something. I know Johnny Hodges and some of the guys over at the Bar Association who protect me, so...
Yeah, that's not legal, is it?
What do you mean it's not legal? They give a little bit of influence.
Yeah, they have their influence.
Oh, they have their influence, huh?
Hey, what are you guys trying to say anyway?
I think we're just curious. If you're a lawyer and you intentionally assault somebody, doesn't that affect
you know, you're standing.
Well, not in my case, and because listen, Phil, when it comes to Frank Gray, you know, the roots go down too far. I know where too many of the bodies are buried. It's just
it's no good. You can't threaten Frank Gray like that.
You don't threaten Frank Gray like that.
You don't threaten her like that at all.
No, you don't threaten her. What do you mean her? You mean her.
That's right. I forgot. Her.
No, not her.
I mean him.
Right, her.
Okay, Frank, thanks.
Well, is that it? Christ, I was just beginning to warm up.
Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen, world-famous Phil Hendry show, who punched out Jim Champlin.
And the good news on that, Jim Champlin is his name. He went on to have a very successful career as a Broadway musical theater star. And, you know, I was still friendly with him. He didn't like Frank very much. But I told him, I said, Jim, you put your hand right on the ass. And
That's how you said it, huh?
That's how I said it, right. And I said, you don't do that. And you don't do that in front of a woman's husband. And he said, you've got to understand, there were people out there who thought I was really a drag queen and not an actor playing a drag queen.
I imagine, does that kind of stuff get confusing for some actors?
What?
Well, I don't know. They're playing a character and they think that they're the guy.
What? That didn't happen that way.
Oh, based on what experience have you got, Dickman?
Wait a minute, wait. It's a good question, Margaret. Do you,
What about you, Phil? You've done a little bit of acting.
I would just, on my limited experience, I'd say no actor gets confused and thinks, you know, I must be Billy the Kid.
Well, okay, I was just wondering, because this guy, he's worried that people are going to think he's a drag queen.
He played one in this.
I know he played one, but he played it. Never mind.
Yeah, I know, he played one, but he wasn't confused by it.
No, he didn't think he was one.
All right, so he played one, but he didn't think he was one.
No. And I think that any actor that would allow... Any actor that happens to has not got a firm grip on reality. Let me put it to you that way.
Well, I've heard about, you know, a lot of these method actors and stuff.
Oh, the method, Jesus.
Wait a minute. You've heard about... If you hear about any actor who forgets who he is and starts walking around like he's freaking Billy the Kid or whatever the hell, or Henry the Eighth, or... King Lear, that guy needs a psychiatrist.
Oh, listen to you. You're not, what do you think, you're Laurence Olivier or something?
I don't have to be Laurence Olivier to know that. You got to be out of, any cat that does that is nuts. I'll go on record right now as saying that.
Well, Miss Sanders, you may have some people.
Yes, Phil, there are very proficient and polished actors who would disagree with that.
Like who?
I can't think, I know there's got to be.
There's got to be one.
No. No actor... plays a character.
All right, Phil. No acting.
I'm telling you that... Get out of here, will you? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show.
Don't push me.
I didn't push you.
I did.
Oh.
Ow.
This portion of the Phil Hendry show brought to you by Muttmies, a great place to go and just lie down. The Muttmies hotel chain in 53 cities. Just go on in and lay down anywhere. Use any room at any time. Muttmies, the only hotel where you check in, pick your room out, and if you like it and there's someone in it, then you can throw them out and you can stay in that room. Muttmies, where you get to pick your room. And by Burger Snap, a juicy, juicy, delectable hamburger with pickles, onions, and cheese, and it's only about a half an inch high. The Burger Snap and try our bit at your chickens.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry show at El Pacifico in Southern California. Well, one of the guys that we love to have on the show from time to time is a guy named Dave Neener, and he's with K-Boy Radio in Boyster, Colorado, and he joins us now for a recap of last year's Halloween promotion, and you're going to do the same thing this year, is my understanding.
That's right, Bob. We are going to do the same thing. Is Phil going to be interviewing?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay.
But sometimes Bud does the interview as well.
Yeah, well.
You got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with it. I'm hopeful that Phil Hendry, who is the host of the show, is going to be doing the interview.
Yeah, I'm here.
Sometimes Bud leads things off.
Well, what's everybody jumping on me for?
Well, it sounds like you got a problem with Bud because he's a little slow.
I got no problem with Bud. I'm hopeful that...
So anyway, as I was saying...
Go ahead.
So you're going to do the Walking Dead promotion again this year.
That is absolutely right, Bud. We're going to do our Walking Dead promotion. And we did it last year, and we've worked out a lot of the kinks. And we think it's going to be a lot of fun as we travel the neighborhoods around here in Boyster, California, dressed up as the Walking Dead. And, we approach people and go, ah. And if we approach you... And we try to gnaw on your arm, or we don't do it for real. We just approach you.
Wait a minute. You try to gnaw on people? All right, well, you're dressed up as what?
We're dressed up as... I need to... Phil, if you're there, can I please talk with you?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I mean, I'm talking to Bud.
Bud does some of the interviews as well, Dave.
Hey, what's with everybody, you know, jumping on me for?
No, look, Dave, you know, we want to have you on the show, but we don't like it when people start saying, hey, where's Phil? They don't think Bud's a real interviewer. He's a real interviewer.
I got it already, okay? I understand that.
And now, what is the problem you're having with the gnawing on the arm?
What I was saying is I want to explain, because we had a problem last year. When you gnaw on an arm, okay, the Walking Dead is supposed to do that.
Now, you know that we have one of the residents, a guy by the name of George Heffman, is that his name? It's George Showman. George Showman.
So you had one of the residents from what? One of the neighborhoods last year?
Yeah, the first neighborhood there in Boyster.
All right, well, that's the guy. Yeah, see, that's what I mean. That was the guy who got his daughter. Look, myself and Kenton Delman, who does the morning show, young Delman, Kenton Delman and friends, and I had to do it. It was Dave Neener and friends.
Yes, you told us the morning show was Dave Neener and friends.
Right, well, we changed it because I got a week of put with Kenton Delman in there. Last year, when I walked up to this young lady, Amelia Showman, and I gnawed on her arm, I said, hey, it's the Walking Dead. Now, the first thing you're supposed to do is you get a rubber knife that we had at Webco department stores, and you're supposed to try to drive the, you know, stab me in the head with a rubber knife. And the first person to do that won the grand prize, which was an all-expenses-paid trip to Disneyland, and you got, you know, passes to the Magic Kingdom, and I would meet you down there. I'd meet you along with Kent Delman and our girlfriends, and we'd take you on a ride, you know, take you on a tour of the park. And which includes, of course, the Haunted Mansion. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, so, and did you do this?
Yeah, well, I went up to this one young lady, this showman, and I went, Walking Dead, and I started to kind of gnaw, and it's a fake thing. Okay, it's a fake thing. Well, she screamed.
Now, when you say it's a fake thing, that means what?
It means I'm not really gnawing.
Well, that's the thing. Now, let's get the father on, because he said you didn't gnaw, but you were licking, and there was saliva.
No, the reason why there was licking, you have to approximate like you're going to eat. If you're doing this real, like you're going to eat the arm, well, yes, my tongue darted out from my mouth.
And you wound up licking or gnawing on the girl's arm?
I didn't gnaw on her arm. I licked it. I don't know what her father's going to say.
Well, we have this man, George Showman, on the phone here from the first neighborhood in Boyster. Hi, Mr. Showman. You are on the air right now.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air right now with Dave Neener, the program director at K-Boy. He was the one dressed in the Walking Dead costume.
Yes. Well, I was listening to what you were saying before, just a moment ago, Mr. Neener. I'm not, I understand, you know, that this was a promotion. My daughter was trick-or-treating, and she said, well, this man was dressed in a Walking Dead costume like a zombie.
Yes, that's right, sir.
Okay. And she said that you came up to her and went, you made some guttural sound.
I came up to her and I went, ah, like that.
Right. Well, she thought, first of all, she thought you were a female. And that's, she was initially upset because she thought a female was trying to sexually assault her.
I don't understand she thought it was a female.
Because when you went, it sounded effeminate. She said it sounded like a woman.
It kind of, you got a kind of a high-pitched voice, Dave.
No, I think you got the, this is the way I sounded as in the Walking Dead costume. I walk up to her, and I go, hi, Dave Neener, K-Boy Radio. Wah!
No, yeah, okay, that's, she said it was high-pitched.
That does sound...
But I said, I'm Dave Neener, K-Boy Radio.
She didn't understand, she said it was some, she couldn't understand it.
All right, so you went up to this young lady, and here's the point that the father, and my understanding, Mr. Showman, you didn't like the fact that he was licking your daughter's neck?
No, she said to me that he came to her and goes, you know, as the Walking Dead, and then she felt saliva and loogie.
No, that was what I told. I told the police officer, sir. I said, excuse me, I think I mistakenly loogied.
You said that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because that's my song.
Mistaken?
I can tell you, I don't think this is funny at all, homeboy.
Hey, Mr. Showman, you may not think it's funny, and I can appreciate that, but don't call me homeboy. You ain't got no beef with me.
I'm sorry, okay.
Look, Mr. Showman, I told the police officer that I mistakenly loogied on your daughter.
Yeah, and the police officer, the Boyster cop that rolled this thing, a guy named Derek Baldwin, this guy...
What do you mean the Boyster cop that rolled this thing?
They sent out some Barney Fife who didn't take it.
Now, wait a minute. Well, hold on for a minute.
let's have a little bit of respect.
Well, they did. They sent out some guy who didn't take it serious.
But what did he say?
I told him, I said, this guy dressed in a Walking Dead costume licked my daughter's arm and licked her neck.
As a way of saying, I'm going to eat you, but I'm not going to use my teeth.
You don't use anything. Anyway, I told this cop this. Mr. Henry goes, Then he rolled off into the night, and I don't...
Did you have any encounter with the police, Dave?
No, not at all, no. The only problem I had was after the fact, when this family called. So we settled the whole thing. I gave him a pass to Days Inn for the weekend.
Was that not good enough, sir?
Whatever. You know, I wasn't looking. I wanted to make sure that what was happening was in fact happening, and that this man would be, he would be reprimanded.
I was talked to by our general manager, Crick Feeble. And,
yeah, that's right, Mr. Feeble.
What is his name again?
Crick Feeble, right?
Yeah, Crick Feeble. Well, that's his name. Don't wear it out.
I'm not going to wear it out. I knew his name. I talked to him. He said he spoke with you.
He did talk to me, and the whole thing cooled out.
Right. Now I found out this year you're going to do the same thing.
All right. So this year he's going to be out there in the... Where are you going to be this time, Dave?
We're going to be in one of the neighborhoods of Boyster. And I don't know what seems to be...
I'm here to just let people know that this man dresses up in Walking Dead costume and goes up to women going, and then you loogied on...
I loogied one time.
Can we use an adult term like maybe salivated or... Yeah, there you go, salivated.
Well, I mean, what... So what are you doing, man? Do it on purpose?
I am not doing it on purpose. The whole idea is to scare people. Now, we've given out the rubber daggers.
Well, that's the whole thing. You're supposed to have a rubber dagger to stab the guy in the head.
That would be me, yeah.
Okay.
But she didn't have a rubber dagger, did she?
No, she did not. That's how I found out that she was not eligible.
My daughter was not going to win anything.
No, she was not going to win anything unless she stabbed me in the head with a rubber dagger. Because that would mean she went over to the Weebco department store and picked up a rubber dagger.
Oh, you're giving me a headache.
Thanks very much, sir. You know, you're not exactly Excedrin yourself.
Hey, man. Anytime, man, day or night.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. Wait a minute. Now, you're going to be out there again, Dave, with your little promotion.
My little promotion?
Yes, your little promotion that so far for The Walking Dead, Halloween, whatever. And you're going to be spitting on people?
I fake bite them.
Well, then you fake bite them, but you loogie on them.
The loogie.
I said, can we use an adult term?
All right, salivate.
That's better. Hold on. I want to say something. I'm a mother. I'm not a mother of a daughter, but I'm a mother. And if some strange man walked up dressed in, as you call it, Walking Dead costume, and salivated or loogied or whatever term you want to use on my child, I would be very upset. I'd want specific. And even if you were from a radio station and I was supposed to have a rubber dagger, I certainly would have demanded more than a week at the Days Inn.
Well, that's the difference between you and me, my wife. I wanted to cool it out. We're big fans of the Kenton Delman show.
Now, who is Kenton Delman?
Kenton Delman's harmonic man. Okay. And Kenton Delman also put his lips on, you know, kind of lipped it.
Kenton Delman came up and lipped my daughter's forearm and lipped her neck, and I said, well, if he's going to lip it, that's cool, but I didn't know who this guy was.
Oh, okay, so it was okay if Kenton Delman did it, but not Dave Neener.
Who's Dave Neener, man?
I'm the program director.
Oh, so you're the guy?
Yeah.
No, I don't want him doing that.
All right, so you wanted the big morning star to do it.
Well, it's a guy that my daughter listens to.
All right, is everything fine now, gentlemen?
No, I just want to let people know that if you see Dave Neener in his Walking Dead costume...
Hold on. You can't come out here and start to slander the promotion.
If you see Dave Neener in his Walking Dead costume, he's going to lip it.
He's going to lip it.
Meaning he's going to walk up and...
He's going to walk up and try to put his lips on your kid or Scott.
I would say, Dave, that you might want to roll that back a little bit.
The whole idea is that you're Walking Dead.
Yes, you're Walking Dead, but it obviously didn't work out very good for you. All the publicity you're getting here is bad.
Well, I didn't anticipate that this guy was going to come on, and you sound like...
Sound like what?
Nothing.
You were going to say Raghead, weren't you?
I was.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm German, okay? I'm not the name is Shulman, man. That's not a Middle Eastern name.
Well, how come you sound like a raghead?
See you later, Dave.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
All right, Mr. Shulman, I'm very sorry for that. Everything good with you?
Well, yeah, everything is good with me, but let everybody know, I want everyone to know that, hey, this guy And this radio station, K-Boy, all they want to do is an excuse to go up and drool on your kid.
All right, well, taken under advisement, thank you very much, sir, for being with us. And there is Mr. George Showman and Dave Neener, who we had to hang up on because, well, he's getting to this raghead stuff.
You know something? I barely remember that promotion. I barely remember it from last year, but there was something in the news about it, right, Robert?
Yeah, well, all it said was that Dave Neener at K-Boy Radio got into an altercation with a homeowner because he was trying to suck his...
You know something, man? What is it with these guys, anyway? Did they think it's funny? You know, did they think...
Yeah, I think they think it's like all satirical and everything.
Yeah, they think it's a big gag.
Well, it ain't a big gag. It's not a big gag. Obviously, if you got a kid... And the drooling...
Well, I can tell you that Dave Neener and K-Boy, this is the second time they've been on this station, and both times, I'll tell you what, the guy gives me the running creeps.
He does what?
He gives me the, not the regular creeps, the running creeps, that even if I was running from him, it'd just be creeped, you know?
Yeah, because the creeps follow.
Yes, the creeps follow along.
Okay.
Don't stop, and what's with all the dead air?
Nothing. All right, coming up, we got... Dr. Sadler?
Yeah, we got Dr. Jim Sadler going to be talking with Mr. Henry about his mental health days.
On the Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. And this is General Galen Shaw. And as you know, Phil was out for the last couple of days. Mental health days. Joining us from his offices in San Diego, California, is Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler is going to see what he can do. Well, we're not psychoanalyzing here, for instance. We're not going to be doing any heavy therapy session. But Dr. Sadler is going to join us to talk to Phil directly about the need, if you will, for these mental health days. Hello, Dr. Sadler.
Hello, everyone out there.
Hey, Dr. Sadler.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Dr. Sadler.
Hello.
Phil's here. And let me just give you the preliminary. Phil took a couple of mental health days. He doesn't want to tell us anything about it. And we thought what we would do is have you come on. Phil's agreed to talk to you and turn this into...
Just sort of turn it into something that's
like a big bit.
Well, now, see, Phil, that's very resentful of you.
That's what you're trying to tell me. He's being all resentful.
Well, that's what it is. It's a bit. I mean, you know...
It is a bit.
Phil, maybe there's something we can say that will help you.
I'm not depressed. I just needed to take a couple of days.
All right, Phil, are you going to talk or are you going to let the...
Let Dr. Sadler...
Phil, hold on for a minute. So you needed a couple of mental health days. You announced this on Facebook. You announced it on the BSP group on Facebook as well. Why did you need that?
Because I was feeling like I needed a couple of nights off from everything, from the show.
From the show and from what? From the business?
From the business, from everything.
Did you need to get out of the house?
It would have been nice, but I didn't. I stayed home.
Oh, it would have been nice. Why didn't you?
Because I didn't really, to be honest with you, have anywhere to go. I couldn't think of anywhere to go. Can I ask you where you are?
No. Never mind about me. Never mind about me. This is all about you, okay? I'll tell you where I am. I'm right now in a cocktail lounge. So we're up front.
You're in a cocktail lounge?
Yes, that's right. Am I having a drink? Yes, I am.
All right, how effective can you be?
That's just that. I'm up front with you, so you be up front with me. Never mind about whether I'm having too many drinks, okay? I've had a tough day, too. I'm stopping down to help you, Phil.
Well, are you drinking?
It's none of your...
Just let him say it.
Let her say it?
Let Dr. Sadler say it.
That's better.
Well, listen to you, man. Yeah, what do you got an attitude for, Sadler?
I don't have an attitude.
Well, what's with the that's better?
Because I don't need this guy, Dickman. I don't need him telling me how to do it.
No, all right. No one's telling you how to do it.
Wait a minute. This was going to be me talking to him.
Yeah, Phil, let Dr. Sadler talk to you.
I was going to psychoanalyze Mr. Henry.
Well, you're not psychoanalyzing me.
I mean, I was going to do a little bit of a therapeutic session here. But it's not about me and whether I drink and whether I had a bad day. Yes, I had a bad day. Am I drinking? Yes, I am. Do I plan on getting pretty drunk? As a matter of fact, yes, I do, because my girlfriend has got to be driving me home, so I don't have to dive.
All right, so how effective are you going to be talking to Phil?
Because I'm not going to get drunk right now. I'm nursing. I got a Johnny Blue. I'm nursing the Johnny Blue.
But I'm not familiar with that.
Johnny Walker Blue. Is that it? Ah, God damn it.
What was that?
I can't say, but Phil immediately reached down between his legs.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Phil, they weren't... The doctor needs to know.
I need to know. You made that noise.
I had an itch.
It must have been a hell of an itch, because Phil was reaching down there. Man, he was digging for gold.
Boy, oh boy. No wonder, Mr. Henry, that your co-worker's having a difficult time trusting in you.
Can we just keep it out of the personal stuff, and we'll just leave it at that? What happened with me, and et cetera, et cetera?
All right, so something did happen.
No, nothing happened other than my mood. I was in need of a couple of nights off, okay?
Now, why do you feel like you were in need of a couple of nights off?
I don't know. Why does anybody think they're in need of a couple of nights off?
Did you just belch?
No, I did not.
Well, yes, he did, but it was very minor.
All right. Let me make note of that.
What the hell are we doing here?
I'm asking you, Phil, in all honesty, if you can be honest with me. Your co-workers, Seal, Margaret... General Sadler.
You're Dr. Sadler.
Right, but I'm not General Sadler.
And neither am I. My name is General Shaw.
Oh, I'm sorry. Neither me, nor General Shaw, nor Margaret, nor Robert, nor Bud. All of us are in agreement. You're getting sick of your job, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, what a load of...
No, I am not.
You're not getting sick of coming in here day in and day out.
No, I'm not. This is my gig. This is what I do. This is my art. This is... I'll never retire.
What? You're out of your mind.
You'll never retire.
No, I'll never retire.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Sadler, what would you call that?
I call that... First of all, you call that masochism. That the guy not the one to retire.
Why wouldn't you want to retire, Phil?
Because I like what I do. I could never not be doing what I'm doing. Either it's this or some form of this, some form of entertaining or some form of satire, some form of goofy-ass, goofy stuff.
Some form of goofy-ass, goofy stuff that you would be doing for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Mr. Henry, can you imagine seeing yourself at the age of 90 going, hi, everyone? I mean...
I know. And I've often asked myself the same question, Phil. What do you think you'll feel like? What do you think you'll look like?
Ask me if I care.
Okay, do you care?
No.
So you're going to keep on doing this even though you need mental health days.
Can I just say something?
Even though you need a mental health day.
Let me say something. I use the term mental health days because I'd heard that term used before. All right?
Where have you ever heard that?
I've never heard that term before.
I have. I've heard people say I'm taking a mental health day or I'm taking a day off to save my brain, something like that. It had nothing really to do with my mental health. It had more just to do with the fact that I wanted a couple of days off to take care of some business. We've had a lot of stuff that we need to take care of. Like what? Like I got to get those Miami archives curated finally.
Well, there are a lot of people.
Forget it. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, these are the things that I got to do. And if they don't get done, if I don't do them, they don't get done. Okay?
If they don't get done, if you don't do them, they don't get done.
If he doesn't do them, they don't get done.
Oh, okay. All right, well, see, none of the people that work with you believe that. They all think you hate your job and you want to get out of there.
I don't know why you guys think that.
I don't know, Phil. There's a distant look in your eyes these days, like there's something better over the hill, over on the horizon.
Yeah, I have to say, I've noticed that as well.
No, if I think about the future at all, I think about more business. I think about more things to do. I think about, what else we can do. There's a lot of stuff that I want to do with my life and my career, man. I'm not getting sick of any of this stuff. I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I wasn't doing this.
Oh, come on, Mr. Henry. People often want to go off and, just yank it someplace or...
Well, I don't feel like doing that right now.
Now, Dr. Sadler, what would you call that?
I don't know whether you're not facing reality or what the story is, but I think that... Jesus.
Are you sick of your job?
Am I sick of my job?
Yeah. You're sitting there at a bar. You're having yourself a couple of belts.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you're talking to me. Is that professional?
Okay, I'll be honest with you. Am I sick of my job? I'm not sick of my job. No, I'm not sick of my job.
Well...
I'm not sick of most of my job. I get sick and tired of people... telling me, no, doctor, I need this, I need that. Are you going to be open on Sundays? I get sick of that.
In other words, you get sick of dealing with people.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Even though you're a doctor?
No, not.
Yeah, well, that's what you said.
That's essentially what you're saying.
You said it because you're a doctor.
Wait, hold on. I thought I was on this show to talk to Mr. Hendry.
Well, obviously, that's a dead end. Now, we're talking to you about your...
Wait, how is that a dead end? Mr. Hendry here gives a whole bunch of pat answers about, oh, I love what I do. You know, and you guys accept that?
I do love what I do. What do you want me to tell you? I can't say it any other way. Do I like to take vacations? Damn right.
So you do like to not work.
Who doesn't?
You don't see me taking it well.
I see you sitting at a bar having yourself a couple of pops.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
And I bet you take vacations.
I mean...
How many vacation weeks a year do you take?
I thought... I take 6 weeks.
Six? Jesus, man.
What about it?
I'd love to take 6 weeks.
Ah, there you go. See, you are wrestling away from the constraints, Mr. Hendry.
What did you just say?
Dad, that was unintelligible.
You know what? I think you guys got me on this show here tonight just to F with me. I'm having a tough time.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to talk to you, Phil, and now this guy's bawling.
No, I'm not.
Well, what's going on?
I think I'm in love with one of my patients.
Is she married?
Three guesses.
Yes, she is.
You got it. So I thought that I'm here having a cocktail right now. I thought I'd give her a call and see if she wanted to go out of town for the weekend.
Go out of town?
What are you talking about, man? She's married.
Oh, she's, yeah, well.
Yeah, if the woman's married, how's she going to go out of town for the weekend?
Yeah.
You hadn't thought of that one, huh?
No, I'm...
And we've got you asking Mr. Hendry questions and giving him therapy.
Well, hold on for a minute. I may not understand... Okay, I may not be able to grasp certain things, but I can certainly talk to a man who's depressed and ask him whether he's happy with his job.
Yeah, but let me ask you, okay, since we're now talking about you.
Yeah, see, I figured this was... God damn it.
Well, no, you think a married woman is going to go out of town with you?
I would hope so, yeah.
What? She's got a husband, man. What does she say to him?
That she's going to go out of town with a guy that's got money.
Do you think that woman is a whore?
I should say not.
Well, then why do you think she'd go out of town with you just because you've got money?
So what are you telling me? So
I'd say give it up, man. She's married.
Give it up. She's married.
Yeah, don't you understand?
Man, if she's married, she can't go out with you.
All right, I'm...
This is the guy that you thought was going to psychoanalyze me.
I didn't psychoanalyze you.
I mean, give me some kind of therapy.
Well, you know, you do have a shingle in psychology, don't you?
Yeah, occasionally. I don't really use it all that much.
Well, you don't know how to deal with a married woman. You say you're in love with her.
I'm very much in love with her.
How do you know you're in love with her?
How do I know? Because every time she walks by, I get, like, crazy. I get aroused.
Man, that's not love. That's being aroused. That is not love. You know what love is, Sadler?
I most certainly do know what love... What are you talking about?
Because you get aroused by a woman doesn't mean that you love her.
Well, it sure means... I don't know what else you call it, then.
It's called... You're horny, man. You're turned on.
What?
Hey, Sadler, where are you from? When were you born? What planet are you from?
All of those questions. So, in other words, I sound like an idiot.
You sound like a complete idiot, yeah.
I sound like a... I'm a doctor. I hang my shingle out in psychology occasionally.
Yeah, you hang your shingle out, all right.
Yeah, I got your shingle hanging.
You got my shingle hanging? What does that mean?
Hey, Sadler, are you fucking with us?
Yes, I am. I just had too much to drink, and I'm bored. I'm waiting for a friend of mine, Bill Hitchcock. You know, I'm sorry.
Hey, I didn't have him do that. You didn't have him do what? I didn't have him start acting like a jackass.
That wasn't our idea, Phil. The idea was to have him come on.
Yeah, to...
I know. To give me some therapy.
Well, you look like you had it, all right.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
And join us again tomorrow for some other...
Yeah, for some other guest that goes off the rails.
Jesus. Oh, by the way, good news. We're going to be uploading our Miami archives starting Monday. I know. Well, it starts on Monday, so...
And that's good news, huh?
Yes, that's good news.